Hello, my name is Jonathan Freebert, and thank you for joining the Voices for Innovation call to do a legislative preview for the state of Texas this year. With us today, we have two very knowledgeable people who will walk through and talk about some of the technology, policy issues, and legislative issues that we anticipate during this next session, as well as talking about just some of the politics and some of the things that are going on with leadership in the legislature. So if I could ask people to mute their phones as we are recording this, that would be appreciated. So first, I wanted to introduce my colleague, Andrew Wise, who's Director of State Government Affairs, covers the great state of Texas and a few other states in the South. But he's based in Austin and has been with the company for a number of years and is a great representative of Microsoft in Texas. Additionally with us is Thomas Ratliff, who is a lobbyist and government relations consultant for Microsoft among several of his clients. But unique is that he also is the vice chair of the State Board of Education, where he was elected to the board in 2010 and then reelected in 2012. And he serves on the board's Committee on School Finance and Permanent School Fund. So Thomas is very knowledgeable, not only just about some of the issues that we care about, but also about education issues as well. We could have a conversation about that if that's interesting to people. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague Andrew Wise, who will kick things off, and then Thomas will speak after that. So, Andrew?
Great. Thanks everyone for joining, and thanks for your support of VHI. It's very much appreciated. In terms of issues this coming session that we anticipate coming up that would affect us and other technology companies, there's about four or five, and I'll just quickly go through them and then hand it over to Thomas to talk about some of the politics of this upcoming session. Probably the number one issue for us is going to be procurement reform. Last session, they passed a bill called Senate Bill 20. And it was very problematic for a lot of vendors. So we're going to go back and see if we can edit some of the language that they had last session, in particular the limits they have on procurements. We want to either eliminate them or raise them. And then the other thing we'd like to do is make it easier for vendors and agencies to work together. The bill sort of put a wall between vendors and agencies, and it's been tough to deal with in procurements. Second issue is cyberbullying. And we have a bill, but it's not very effective, so we're going to try to put some more penalties into it. And the third issue is cybersecurity. Over the interim, the Senate Business and Commerce Committee did an interim study, and the state is pretty much lacking in cybersecurity, so we'll see some bills on that. And then in for education, computer science, we anticipate two bills, one to increase funding for computer science in public schools, and one for teacher training, which we will definitely support. And then just the other big issue out there is what's being called the bathroom bills, and that's for kids that self-identify as a opposite gender, and we anticipate having several of those bills, so we'll be working on those as well. And that's all I've got in terms of the tech issues. Thomas, you want to talk a little bit about politics?
Sure. And the other one that I know you love to forget it, but we're also going to probably have a student data privacy bill.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Last session we tried to do it and intra tech industry politics, but it's passed in enough other states and the language is kind of gelled together that we feel good about. In fact, I just met with the author just 20 minutes ago, and he's ready to file it again. And the State Board of Education and the Commissioner of Education both support that effort to protect kids and their data and their privacy. So we're hoping we get that passed this next session. But the politics will be interesting this session. It's dominated by Republicans. There's 99 in the House out of 150, and there's 19 out of 31 in the Senate. But the politics between the two bodies is very different. And we have a very conservative Tea Party lieutenant governor who really wants to go after the social issues, like the bathroom bill, for example, and education vouchers. And the House has not indicated a willingness to go along on either one of those for now. And in fact, the Texas Association of Business and other groups are coming out against the bathroom bills as well because of what happened to North Carolina in the wake of that. But it will be very interesting. I think there's not much money to go around, so it's going to be a tight fiscal budget. But then there's going to be some real ideological divides that is going to lead to a lot of bills dying over, candidly, being taken hostage or for leverage for other bills that the two sides feel are important. So I did want to point out my term on the State Board of Education ends in 23 days, but who's counting? But I did not run for re-election, so I've served my 6 years, and I've gotten paroled, and so I get to leave and go back to being a private citizen. So that's the politics will be interesting. There's some child protection service issues that have bubbled up in the press lately, and funding for education is always a perennial issue. So it will be interesting to see where the fights materialize. There's always some surprise issue that bubbles up that nobody anticipates, but we do know we'll be dealing with education vouchers and bathrooms for sure, and whether we actually get any other work done remains to be seen. As a former lieutenant governor said one time, the only thing they have to pass is a budget, and the rest of it is poetry. So we'll see how much poetry we write this year.
And what is the, Thomas, what's the budget compared to last session? We have a little bit more money to play with, or?
Yeah, I think they've got, in terms of enrollment growth and population growth, you know, kind of growth and inflation, so to speak, but I don't think there's anything beyond that, or even if there was, this legislature wouldn't be willing to spend it because they all pride themselves on passing tough budgets and then turning around and complaining when cities and school districts have to raise money locally to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And the other big question, we'll have a new chairman of Senate Business and Commerce. It was Kelly Hancock from the DFW area. He replaces Kevin Eltife, who chaired that committee last session. And one of the things that they have in their report is language that talks about agencies writing RFPs that if they're written in such a way that basically creates a monopoly. And that's one of the things that they're looking at with the Senate Bill 20 as well, is trying to crack down on when an agency or a governmental entity has a vendor that they want to do business with, so they write the RFP in such a way that only one company can meet the terms of the RFP. And it's kind of become a cottage industry for some consultants and other vendors. Microsoft, in my tenure, has always had the attitude of, we don't want things done that way because we don't want the criticism that comes along with it, and we're willing to compete with anybody on a level playing field and on a apples-to-apples comparison, but don't write the terms and the T's and C's in such a way that somebody comes in and kind of blinks and winks and says, yeah, we can do all that. And then once they get in the door, then they start adding all the add-ons to meet all the terms of the RFP. So I don't anticipate it hurting our ability. In fact, I anticipate it helping our ability, because if it's a level playing field, I like our chances.
So that's good. This is Jonathan, just to follow up. So that, Andrew and Thomas, that kind of goes to those procurement preference bills that we saw several years ago trying to favor open source. Now, I assume that that's not what's happening now, but it's just sort of writing procurement so you can have multiple bidders compete on it. Is that the idea?
If there are multiple technologies out there, yeah. What they don't want is to, if there's, you know, there was some language that AT&T put in a bill a couple of years ago that made it where state agencies couldn't buy VoIP services. And so then agencies who start to want to use Skype or other things because it makes sense, instead of having to go into landline or having a IP-based phone system instead of a good old traditional landline, it makes it difficult to do. And so
gotcha.
Those are the kinds of things that they're trying to keep creative lobbyists like me giving their clients a competitive advantage. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But.
Gotcha.
One other thing, Jonathan, I failed to mention is it looks like February 22nd will be our Microsoft PAC and partner day at the Capitol.
Okay.
It's the day that Irving Chamber is going to be at the Capitol. And like we did the last time, we partnered with the Irving Chamber and, went to their, several of their events. And we'll also do, a couple of separate events with just the PAC and the partners.
Okay.
But just want to put that on the radar. And once I get more information, Jonathan, I'll get it to you. And if you can get it out to the group, that'd be great.
That'd be great. And just, Andrew, for your information, that's also National Entrepreneurship Week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which Microsoft's a sponsor of that week. So I think it would be that'd be great. And Lacey Finley, who, Andrew, said mm-hmm. that she's happy to help support and work with you on setting that day up since she's based in Austin.
Okay, great.
So that, and through IMTP, I mean, that'd be great. So we will follow up on invitations and how we participate in that day.
Yep.
Can I just follow up on just one question, and then if people, have questions, feel free to IM them or, unmute and ask question. I just ask that you identify yourselves when you ask your question. So, Andrew, in terms of the bills that you ran through, cybersecurity, computer science, et cetera, in your mind, obviously a lot of things kind of depend on how they get introduced and whatnot, but is there a priority list in your mind in terms of where you're going to be focusing on when it comes to these bills that you mentioned?
Yeah, student privacy, computer science bills, and then the cybersecurity bill.
Okay. And the computer science has to do with funding and training, right?
Funding and training, yeah, correct.
Two separate ones, okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting
and
on
the
cybersecurity...
procurement reform.
Yeah, sorry, procurement reform as well. Some of these will be sort of taken on individual lead, but on some of these other ones, it'll be more through trade associations like TechNet and the Texas Association of Business. So it'll just depend on the issue, but...
Okay. But there are opportunities, again, as for folks, small businesses, people represented on the phone, working.
Yep.
Andrew and I work very closely together, and we'll make you aware of opportunities where if you want to voice your opinion and thoughts on, cybersecurity, computer science, there'll be opportunities for you to weigh in with your elected officials on that. And we'll, as we get more information, we'll provide that to you.
Yeah, Jonathan, we'll put together, Thomas and myself, once the bill filing deadline gets through, we'll put together a list of all the bills that we're tracking. And then Thomas actually updates that list weekly. And as the bills go through the process, we'll be sure to let folks know if they want to testify.
That's
and,
great.
And when the date is and all that. It's kind of a tight, it's usually about a week ahead of the actual hearing, so sometimes a little bit tight, but we'll do our best to get those to you so you can get it out to the membership.
Absolutely. And again, we have some people locally in and around Austin that could be available. And Naomi Moneypenny has said she's can testify as well as Lacey. So we have some really strong people available to testify if needed. So Lacey asked a question about apprenticeships. Is anything on the radar in terms of, putting funding in for that or trying to kind of raise visibility and support for apprenticeships? And Lacey, I don't know if you want to expand upon that in any way, because I know that's something you're very passionate about.
Hey, Jonathan, that was my basic question. Is this kind of in a general sense? Is any of that on the radar?
Yeah, Lacey, the governor put together a task force with the Workforce Commission, I want to say higher ed, TEA, a couple of different workforce groups. And they issued a report, I want to say, about a month or so ago. And unfortunately, I have not had a chance to look at it. But I can, what I can do is I can do a little research, get the link to that report, and email it to you.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I would guess that apprenticeships would be somewhere in that report. So I'll do some digging and send it to you.
Thank you, sir.
Other questions or comments?
Hey, Jonathan, thoughts? This is Randy. Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely, Randy.
So, gentlemen, thank you for the updates and information. It's super helpful. I'm Randy Steinle. I run a managed service company in Austin, as well as a cybersecurity firm for healthcare. And I'm going to ask this from a couple different of my roles. One from my company, but also I'm the president of the Microsoft Channel Partner Network for the U.S. And so there's a lot of things there where we've got 700 plus members spread across the U.S. that I think we can get involved as need be in specific states. And Texas is one of our largest footprints in the U.S. So I'm excited to be able to participate in this with you. But things like that list you mentioned, if that's something that we could get permission to put up on our website, I'd love to be able to have an active, constantly updated list of priorities and things that we can do to get our members engaged. So I'd love to work with you on that if that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And any other things like that where we can do it both for Texas, but any of the other states where we're located and have chapters. To be able to engage with y'all and have a grassroots effort to support what you're doing at a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
My day job, though, I'm curious. So we do security risk analysis for healthcare companies and hospitals and their business associates. And Texas is one of the largest healthcare companies in the country, as you can imagine, with the number of hospitals and medical facilities. So I'm curious where the cybersecurity bills are going and where they're headed and what you're working on there and what that looks like specifically and how we can help support that, because clearly there's need for some huge reform around HIPAA and cybersecurity for healthcare. It's being abused daily by ransomware and other threats like that, and the healthcare industry is as a whole has a deer in the headlights approach to it right at the moment, and we're trying to help with that effort, but I'd love to know what you're working on there and how we can help you.
Right now there's no legislation on it, so we're just waiting to see what they actually introduce in terms of language. Thomas and I are going to go by next week and visit with Senator Hancock's staff on what they're looking at in terms of a draft bill, and one of the things we are hoping to get in the bill is that for state cybersecurity purposes, that any federal regulations like HIPAA, CGIS, and IRS 1075, that any cloud provider meets those requirements when they contract with the state.
Gotcha. And then do you anticipate any additional language state specific? Because I know Texas
yeah.
is one of the states that's taken advantage of that and
yeah.
added
what,
things
what,
to HIPAA.
Yeah, what they, I don't know about HIPAA, but the committee report, the interim committee report has the state doing basically statewide audits on cybersecurity for all agencies in the next 5 years. And then those reports need to come back to the legislature so they can look at, where are the weaknesses at agencies. And then the other recommendation was that the cybersecurity coordinator for a state agency report directly to the agency head, the executive director, and not the IT manager, so that there's better accountability.
Love that. That seems
so we'll
to be
that.
A national
we'll
change
see.
That's happening.
Yeah, we'll see some of that in bill language probably in February at some point.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Randy.
And please, Jonathan, as you mentioned, please call on us if we can help.
Yep.
Because there's
yep.
several hundred members of the Microsoft Channel Partner Group that we're part of in Texas that are excited about participating in that, but a few thousand Microsoft partners in general that we can rally around issues if we can help.
No, that'd be good. And I mentioned to Andrew and Thomas when we did a briefing call yesterday that cybersecurity is like number one on many people's lists when it comes to, what they're hearing from their customers, as well as I think what you're hearing from Microsoft. And so, Randy and I know others on the call understand this, but, if you're only playing on the technology side with cybersecurity, only playing on half of it, really the regulatory policy legislative side is the other piece. If you want to fully engage on what's happening with cybersecurity to keep your businesses aware as well as keep your customers aware of what's going on. And I think that was, case in point with what we just talked about there. So glad you asked about that. And if you guys can echo that around to the IAMCP as well, I think that really is an important message for people to understand that there's two sides to this coin on cybersecurity. So Andrew, Thomas, there was a question Jeff Hilton asked, what other social issues related to legislation do you anticipate coming up, and how do they impact us? And I think us, Jeff, you mean like tech companies. As Andrew mentioned, these bathroom bills are coming up that are affecting beyond technology, just businesses in general and how they deal with some of the things in the states. Question around that. And Jeff, I heard you pop in. Was there something else you wanted just to add on there?
No, just agreeing. Business and tech
Okay.
in general. Thanks, John.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything on the social issues that will affect us directly. The businesses are just kind of taking the general attitude. Discriminatory bills are not something that they're gonna tolerate, and so it will be interesting to see what shape it takes. We have been told that the lieutenant governor, with all of his public bluster, may be privately saying he's going to exempt everybody from the bathroom bill except for government entity and school districts and leave private business alone. But I think the private businesses are saying that's still not good enough. We're not going to, and we don't, the private businesses, in addition to their own issue, are concerned about the NCAA and the NBA and the NFL and others saying we're not going to go to state playoff games, et cetera, that have these laws like they did in North Carolina. And so I don't think there's anything specific on that issue that will affect us other than a company policy of going to states that are more inclusive and non-discriminatory. The only other issue that I think the one that's going to spend they're going to spend a lot of time talking about is private school vouchers. But again, I don't think that affects us as a company per se. The Gates Foundation has been very pro-charter, but that's a completely separate animal from Microsoft, and I don't know that it really opens any marketplace doors for us one way or the other.
I Thomas, I've heard things along the lines also with, again, coming out of the election of Trump about, while vouchers is one piece of it, it's also sort of, for lack of a better way to say it, education innovation, kind of trying to address some of the regulatory concerns that people have, some people have, I should say, around education and freeing up to allow more training, more even apprenticeships to count towards education. Have you? Again, has this been a discussion or things that you guys have talked about maybe at the board or just things you've been hearing?
Yeah, well, two sessions ago, they passed House Bill 5, which was a landmark legislation on high school graduation plans that really opened up a lot for career and technology and certification programs, et cetera, that get kids career ready, because just focusing on college ready, we're missing half the kids. And so that continues to evolve, and what that, what certificates fall under the allowable programs to get certificates is, part of the equation. More specifically, we did the state board passed the budget for instructional materials for the next biennium and increased it by $200 million over last session. And that's relevant because school districts can use their instructional materials allotment on textbooks, technology, personnel training for technology, because there used to be a separate technology allotment in the budget that went away. And so the board has made a concerted effort to leave more discretion at the local district level to buy those other things other than just state-approved textbooks that kids just love to gobble up in no way, shape, or form. But in addition to an increased appropriation, there's not a big adoption cycle for new textbooks this cycle. So districts are going to really be breathing a sigh of relief, and I would imagine some of them will be doing technology refresh, training, et cetera, because they don't have to buy a bunch of textbooks this time. So that might be a little bit of a boost for the industry.
So if you're a technology partner who's in the education space, there could be an opportunity to talk to customers about, you know, some of the education offerings, it sounds like, that Microsoft has with that funding support, if I understood what you were saying correctly.
Yeah, the school year that starts this next August, so not the one we're in the middle of, but the next school year, they should be, or in preparation for the next school year, they should be able to do some things they haven't been able to do.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's great to know. Maybe that's something, Andrew Thomas, we can, as maybe in the summer, early summer, we can have another conversation about that for partners who are interested in that opportunity. Any other questions or comments or feedback? Okay. Oh, wait, Jeff Hilton's typing, or? Okay, thanks, just feedback. Okay. All right, thank you. I think that with that, we'll close this webinar. So stay tuned for February 22nd. Mark your calendars on that one. And then we'll also, working with Andrew and Thomas, start putting together the legislative tracking for folks who are interested in seeing that. Randy, we can work with you, about sharing with IAMCP, and then Lacey, with local chapters as well, and others who are on the phone from local chapters. So again, thank you, Andrew, thank you, Thomas, and thank you, everyone, for participating today. Hope you found the session useful, and I will be sharing the recording out once it renders on my side. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.